It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down.
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cassie Wienis, registered dietitian. And as always, I need to start off the day not only with a good morning to all of our listeners, but I also have to say good morning to my two biggest fans listening back home, Riley and Marissa. You guys have a fun day with Grandma and Papa. If you haven't guessed yet, I'm filling in for Darlene Kvist this morning. She has a much-earned Saturday morning off. And she had better not be listening to the show right now. I told her she needs to sleep in this morning, work on getting some of those essential 8 to 9 hours of sleep that we're always telling our clients to get. And I told her if she does listen at any point, she had better download this show to her iPod from our website, either later today or, you know, maybe next week. And some listeners might not know, we're going to start rebroadcasting on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Now, it doesn't start this Sunday night, but it's coming up here in the next couple of weeks. Rebroadcasting our shows every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Did you know that?
I did not know that. That is very cool.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, and just so everyone knows, if you ever have to miss a show, we know you don't want to, but if you have to, you can find it on fm107.com for the entire week after airing, and then it'll be available on our website for download at weightandwellness.com.
And that mystery voice you just heard is likely new to most of you. With me this morning for the first time in the FM 107.1 studio is Kristen Gunderson. Kristen is still claiming that new girl status here at Nutritional Weight and Wellness. She came on board about a year ago, and just this past October, she completed some rigorous teacher training with Darlene Kvist, our boss. It is rigorous.
Yeah.
You know, and Dar's philosophy is we're not going to put out good teachers. We're going to put out great teachers.
Yep, exactly.
But you earn it.
Yeah, you sure do.
It's some tough training. And when was your first solo act as a weight and wellness teacher?
I've been teaching the six-week series, weight and wellness series, since November of 08. And I also teach one of our standalone classes, Jumpstart Your Metabolism.
So probably some listeners out there have actually been your students. Or they might have caught Kristen on the Fox 9 morning show last month. She appeared two different times. Superstar. In May, she was talking about foods that stress our bodies versus foods that can actually be stress busting.
And you were a big part of that series on Fox 9 as well, Miss Cassie. Those segments actually focused on a category of foods that have everything to do with our topic today. This morning, we're going to be discussing blood sugar and type 2 diabetes. On Fox, we were able to showcase many of the foods that are at the source of driving up our blood sugar and which over time eventually will lead to diabetes.
And we're going to be spelling out just what those foods are so that all of you listeners can avoid them or at least cut back on them. But you have an even more personal connection to this topic of diabetes other than having done the TV appearance, don't you?
Yeah, I sure do, Cassie. And I really wish I was actually listening to this story instead of telling it, but I am hoping there are folks out there that will resonate with this and maybe make some changes. The story is actually about my grandma, my Gram, as I call her. She and I had quite a special bond. I was her only grandchild, and for those of you with grandparents or grandchildren, if you only have one, you know that that's kind of a very special relationship. She was someone that very funny, animated, quick-witted, young-spirited. We'd play dress-up. She'd let me do her hair and just cover her with ridiculous amounts of makeup.
Oh, that's fun.
Lots of cool pictures from those days. We'd take day trips into Rochester, ride the bus all over town, and just laugh and laugh. We'd stay up late playing cards. We were just best buddies. It was great. I always was at her side in the kitchen. I was her little helper. She taught me all sorts of things in there. Yep. So food was a big part of our experience together. Sure. Cakes we would bake together, and you know the best part's always licking the bowl.
Yes.
Absolutely. Meals, we'd have stuff ready for Grandpa when he came home from work. And then, of course, all the holiday recipes that I still make today, but of course, with a few amendments,
yes,
as we'll talk about later. But unbeknownst to me, this whole time, Graham was battling diabetes. By the time I knew something was seriously wrong health-wise, she'd been dealing with it for quite some time. And we actually lost her at the age of 74 to complications due to diabetes. And I was absolutely crushed. In her eyes, I was someone that could do no wrong. And I obviously felt the same about her. And when that person in your life is gone, it's very lonely and sad. And when it's for a reason that's completely preventable, it's infuriating. Mm-hmm. And 74 is very, very young. And mm-hmm. I never want anyone to have to lose someone they love so needlessly. A couple years down the road, I had been listening to FM 107, and I actually heard Dar on this very show.
For the first time.
Yeah, exactly. And I just remember thinking immediately how I had wished Graham could have heard that information and the good word and the good message that she was sending, that food can be the solution or it can be the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think it definitely would have put up red flags for her that all the Crisco and margarine and things we were using in the family recipes were destroying our health.
But she really didn't know. I mean, mm-mm. Isn't it amazing? We see that in class. The people, sometimes we think, duh. But
I know,
people
right?
aren't studying it
no.
every day like we are.
Exactly.
So it's not common sense.
No, it's not. And it's, you know, like I said, family recipes, family favorites. Right. How many Christmas recipes that we all fall back on, banana bread recipes, have that Crisco in there and things that are just
tub
really,
of trans fat.
Right. Exactly. Just destroying us. So at that point, I knew I had to become a part of Weight and Wellness in order to help others before it was too late for them or their loved ones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I heard your story, we took some classes together. I had actually already been through the rigorous training, and Dar made me go back again for a few of the sessions. And I was grabbing for the Kleenexes because that, man, that hits home. But you know what? Every one of our teachers has a great story. Mm-hmm. To tell, and that right there makes for great teachers because you're so passionate
about what you do. Yeah, it's not an uncommon story. I mean,
no.
I'm sure that same scenario has happened to many, many of our listeners.
Right, right. Yeah. But you, unlike a lot of people, have turned that experience into a very positive thing for many other people because now you're out there educating you've educated yourself. You're out there educating others on the steps that they can take toward better nutrition.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, that could very well mean that you help a lot of people in Minnesota stave off type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, and that just means the world to me. It really, really does. You know, when we lost her, I have her engagement ring and her wedding band on as constant reminders to stay strong, healthy, and vital. She's what I call my personal trainer now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and actually, 1 week from today, exactly, I will be running Grandma's marathon, not in her honor, but just as a reminder. I mean, I'll be running for me. Well, yeah, in her honor, but just to kind of.
That's why you picked Grandma's.
Well, yeah, exactly. That wasn't an accident. That happens to be the name of my first marathon. But for all the lessons she taught me, continues to teach me through inspire me to be the healthiest me I can be and make sure that others just don't go down that same road. So we want to make sure that if you are hearing your story in this at all or know others affected by diabetes, please stay tuned this morning because you will very well may be able to save a life.
You are so right. And even if you're one of the nearly 24 million people in this country who already have diabetes, our information today is going to help you control your blood sugars better and in that way add years to your life. Our goal over the next hour here is going to be to help you connect the foods that you're putting in your mouth to your high blood sugars.
Mm-hmm. And that food we're putting in our mouth, you know, Cassie asked me to do a little bit of market research this week to help us achieve our goal in kind of educating everyone today. So the first thing she asked me to do was to stop at one of our area gas stations during that rush hour period in the morning just to see what people were grabbing for a so-called breakfast on their way to work.
I just have this vision of you in like dark glasses and your hat pulled down just incognito
you
in the back.
You saw me.
I did. I needed
coat.
Gas at SA.
Funny.
Yeah, those so-called breakfasts, right? I mean, mm-hmm. likely wherever you're stopping to fill up with gas isn't the best place to buy good breakfast food.
Well, exactly. And it's kind of funny because I didn't realize how rarely I actually go into these places anymore. I'm really kind of a pay-at-the-pump kind of gal nowadays since I don't need any of that stuff. But wow, Cassie, lots of candy bars and Sunny D, chocolate donuts, Diet Mountain Dew rolling out of there at 6 a.m. What a way to start your day.
Not good.
And those cappuccino machines.
Yeah.
You know, lots of people loading up with those coffee drinks, I will put in quotes. You might be surprised to find out there's not really coffee and milk in there, but a powdered mix that contains trans fats and tons of sugar.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think a lot of people realize those cappuccinos have a lot of sugar, but it's funny. I was just, we're having a garage sale this weekend. And I won't be doing that again, but I was working it with my neighbor yesterday, and I was mentioning to her that there's trans fats in those cappuccino coffees, and she said, no. I mean, it's just not, you don't think of something you drink as having trans fats, but believe us, there is. Yeah. And, you know, with a lot of the items you were saying, the chocolate donuts, the candy bars, I'm betting most listeners realize that these things have a lot of sugar, and so it makes sense that having, you know, the big gulp Mountain Dew and a couple of Krispy Kremes in the morning is going to send your blood sugar sky high. But how about, what did you see? You also stopped at the grocery store because some things aren't as obvious.
Right. Well, actually, volume was the theme here. And when people are buying prepackaged processed carbs like Doritos, Pop-Tarts, those little chewy granola bars, and drinks full of high fructose corn syrup as the main ingredient, you certainly can store a large amount at your home and up at your cabin for the entire summer, frankly, since it's not going to go bad. And the chemicals in there are going to make sure of that.
You know, and from what I see in clinical practice, and really also just in talking with friends and family, a lot of people have not grasped the concept that foods that they're getting at the grocery store, like oatmeal, popcorn, the flavored yogurts, the granola bars you mentioned, those things turn into a lot of sugar or blood glucose when we eat them. And this reminds me, a couple years back, I had went home to visit mom and dad in North Dakota, and the morning I left, dad took Riley and I, it was just him and I that went that time, out for breakfast at Perkins before our long trip back. And I'm looking at the menu trying to figure out what I'm going to have. And dad saw that I was kind of indecisive. And he said, oh, just get the pancakes. Those are always good. And I said, oh, I don't want all that sugar. And my dad's a very smart man, by the way. But he looked at me when I said that. And he's like, sugar? There's no sugar in there. That's flour. But it really made me realize not everybody makes that connection that flour's pretty much sugar.
Yeah, it absolutely turns into that inside of our bodies, doesn't it? And in all the classes I've taught for nutritional weight and wellness, I've come across people still who have no idea that just a small glass of juice turns into 10 teaspoons of sugar in their body, or that the average bowl of cereal turns into 20 teaspoons of sugar. Now, would you be dumping 10 to 20 teaspoons of sugar in your coffee or your cereal in the morning? Doubt it.
Seriously, I mean, people, you wouldn't think of pulling up to the breakfast table and spooning 30 teaspoons. I hope you wouldn't during your little.
That was when I was 10, maybe.
There, but yeah. But yeah, people think nothing of having that cold cereal and the glass of juice in the morning. Well, it's time for our first break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company providing therapeutic nutrition and support to people with diabetes. And if you have diabetes, do not turn that radio dial. When we come back, Kristen is going to share some tasty breakfast and lunch ideas that are going to help you manage your blood sugars and reduce your cravings. And if you have questions for us this morning, it's 651-641-1071.
FM 107.1. Yeah. Laugh along. You know that I can go somebody.
You know. Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Kristen Gunderson, nutrition educator, and I'm here with Cassie Wienis, registered dietitian. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about the role nutrition plays in the prevention of diabetes. And as Cassie mentioned before break, we also want to give you some meal ideas that will actually help you control your blood sugar and your cravings if you already have diabetes. So, for example, maybe for breakfast, how about something like an egg frittata? Just whip up a couple of eggs, make sure you have the yolk in there, folks, and stir in some of your favorite veggies, maybe some red peppers, zucchini, mushrooms. Add in some avocado slices, throw it all in a nonstick pan, flip it over when it puffs up, and there you have a perfect combo, again, of protein, healthy fat, and vegetable carbs. That's what we're looking for here. Yeah, we want to balance our blood sugar, getting all three of those in there. Maybe a delicious balanced lunch idea would be just a big spinach salad with some orange slices in there, tons of your favorite veggies, some grilled chicken, and a great olive oil-based dressing. I just described basically what I have for lunch every day. The key
Sounds
here
good.
Is to remember, again, the PFCs, I always tell my class members. PFCs, protein, fat,
oh,
and carbs.
I said PFCs. I like
well,
that, but I hadn't heard that.
I used to say, yeah, guys, like the pipe, you know, PFC. And someone was like, that's called a PVC pipe. I was like, all right, never mind.
Whatever.
But they never forget it. So at every meal and snack, your blood sugar is going to stay balanced when you get those PFCs in. Your cravings will disappear and you will be on the road to wellness. So for For more great recipe ideas for balanced eating, make sure you check our website, weightandwellness.com. And Cassie, tell them how to get there.
Yeah, it's a little confusing. I know Corey's going to work on that one for us, but there are some great recipes. But just click on radio show first, and then the recipe word will pop up, and then click on that. I think it's because mainly we mention recipes
probably
on the show, sure. So there's the connection. Okay, and again, any questions today for us related to diabetes or any nutrition questions you might have, 651-641-1071. And now, you know, we gave you a lot of great examples of some of the common foods that can really send those blood sugars sky high, but let's get a little science-y on the listeners.
Yeah, okay, all those processed carbs you're taking in, they send your blood sugar sky high, we always say. Okay, well, why? What's going on? When your blood sugar is high, our body is responding by releasing an excess amount of something called insulin. And this is the way I think of insulin. He's the little guy whose job it is to pick up all that sugar in your blood that you've just created and carry it out of your blood and into your cells for great energy. When you have the right amount for your body, you're going to have great energy. But typically what we're talking about in an American diet is an extreme excess of what we actually need.
Right. You know, and some people might be listening thinking, well, hey, as long as I have this guy insulin, no worries, right? I can overdo it on the sugar and insulin will come to my rescue so that I don't have the high blood sugars for very long. But unfortunately, life is not that simple. If you continually stress out your pancreas, which is the organ that produces the insulin, if you continually stress that pancreas out by asking it to work overtime, as it has to do with foods that turn to a lot of sugar, eventually you will stress that organ out beyond repair.
Yeah, and since you'll no longer be able to produce enough insulin to handle high sugar loads, diabetes will be in your near future.
Yes, and we're going to talk a little bit about kids, too, and what we're putting in their mouths. But we do have a caller, so let's take that.
All right.
Let's see. I believe it's Nancy on the line. Good morning, Nancy. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Thank you. My question is, I am not a diabetic, but I drink a coffee in the morning, a couple cups, and I've been using Splenda. And I know listening to your show that that's not, you know, with the artificial, it's not the best choice.
Correct.
I've been trying to change over to the stevia, but it has a different taste. Mm-hmm. And I know there's probably a learning curve with that. But I'm wondering if you have any other recommendations for sweetening coffee.
Probably you could try vegetable glycerin.
Okay.
Would be one. I know I've heard of some gals doing that. The other thought I had, and I apologize, I've never been one for sweeteners in my coffee, so I haven't experimented much, but I understand with the stevia, I've used that in a few other things and it wasn't quite the right flavor. But vegetable glycerin, I would say, or have you ever tried the liquid stevia?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so there's a liquid stevia. Maybe that's going to have just a little better flavor because it's made to mix in liquids better. And the other thought I have, final thought, have you ever put just heavy whipping cream in your coffee?
No. The other thing I've been doing, so I'm cognizant of not making too many changes at once, but I have been a longtime user of the fat-free half and half.
Oh.
And I know that's very bad.
Yes.
She keeps saying she knows all these things are bad. Hey, Nancy, I've got a couple ideas because I am a coffee drinker, and I've actually got mine right here.
I have stopped that, though.
Oh, good.
Good,
okay.
Good. That's corn syrup in there.
Very good, yeah.
Listening to your show, and so I'm using just the regular half and half.
Okay. Fantastic. And okay. You could try something called blue agave nectar.
Oh.
That's very low on the glycemic index, and it's very sweet. You don't need very much at all, and it's a liquid. I don't like that stevia either. And then there's something called sun crystals out there as well. It's crystallized real cane sugar, but it's just a small amount of it.
Processed as
it's not
sugar,
processed.
Sugar.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
thanks
well,
for calling.
Now you got lots of ideas. Yeah, thank you for listening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. And then let's take at least one more. We have Sharon on the line. Good morning, Sharon. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Yes, good morning. Love your show.
Thank you.
Yes, I do like to use nonstick skillets, like for doing eggs or whatever. And do you have any thoughts about, you say your favorite nonstick? Is there a safe nonstick pan out there?
I know Dar gets this question quite a bit, and she she doesn't have a preference out there.
Maybe I would think just your biggest thing would be don't use it past its time when it starts to
correct.
Get worn.
Or too high of a heat. Other than that, she, you know, just using it in the, like you said, the way that you're supposed to getting it seasoned first and everything. But she doesn't have a specific brand that she recommends over another.
Okay. Great news.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sharon.
Thanks
okay,
for listening. Bye. Okay. Great questions. Well, getting
kid
back
talk,
to, yeah, kid talk. You know, being a mom of two wonderful little children, I want all the parents out there to perk up their ears for a minute. Type 2 diabetes used to be called adult onset diabetes back when I was in college, which really wasn't that long ago. But now we're seeing type 2 diabetes, what used to be called that adult onset, in kids as young as 9 and 10 years old.
Ugh.
That is so sad because just like you said with your grandma, it is so preventable.
Mm-hmm.
And it has everything to do with diet and lack of exercise. And as parents, we need to hold ourselves accountable for the health of our kids.
Yeah, and I've heard several health experts say that type 2 diabetes in children is quickly approaching epidemic proportions. And here, too, I think sometimes it's a scenario where the parent doesn't connect the dots between the foods they're actually giving their child and what road it's going to send them down in terms of their overall health. You know, it's immediate gratification. This is going to make them happy right
yes.
now. This
oh,
is what they're crying for.
Yeah. And being a parent is, like they say, one of the toughest jobs you'll ever love having. It is hard. But the good news is, especially if your kids are still in the toddler stages, you have a lot of say in what goes in their mouth.
Absolutely.
And, you know, yeah, sometimes they have their little fit, but in retrospect, it doesn't last, usually, more than 5 minutes or so, you know. And we're talking about a life of good health
mm-hmm.
in exchange. So I can't stress enough the extreme importance of making some positive choices in your family meals. And why not start right now?
Yep.
Make today the day that you start instead of buying the Doritos or the Goldfish. The graham crackers do not have such great ingredients either. Instead of those things, pick up some strawberries or some blueberries. They are deliciously, naturally sweet this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe instead of the boxed mac and cheese for lunch, make the kids a quick sandwich. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate when we talk about putting your own meal together, but a sandwich, some good whole wheat bread, some deli meat free of preservatives, and be sure you put some cheese and some full-fat mayo in there as well.
Perfect. You know, from what I've learned at Nutritional Weight and Wellness, it is possible for moms to set their children up for carb cravings and a lifestyle of overeating those highly processed foods right from infancy. And everything you've said is just going to combat that.
Yeah. You are so right. And I'm going to talk more about that, some ways to start your infant outright on those first foods. But first, we need to take another break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. We are a company specializing in nutrition education. We've been talking about food choices that may be leading you down that road to diabetes, to insulin resistance. When we get back from break, I'm going to continue talking more about the baby food stuff. And then also, Kristen is going to share some of the glaring physical symptoms that are indicators that you're at that fork in the road of either developing diabetes fairly soon or choosing a different path, making some changes, and staving off that disease. So stay tuned for those symptoms when we return. And if you have questions, 651-641-1071.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Requested by Kristen.
All right. Now I'm never going to come
Kyle.
Back in. All right, thanks, Kyle. Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you're just tuning in, we've been discussing the power of real food and the battle against diabetes, an epidemic in this country. And before we went to break, Cassie mentioned that I would talk quickly about some body signs that could be indicating diabetes is on your horizon. So body signs are something that your body's telling you something's going on. You need to recognize something's happening when you see these things. Skin tags, these are small growths that usually form in the area where the skin creases on your body, like your neckline, armpit, eyelids. If you have dark patches of skin, now these dark patches usually appear on the back of your neck or as a ring around your neck. These dark patches sometimes show up on armpits, elbows, knees, and knuckles as well.
And your grandma had both of those,
yeah.
didn't she? We were talking about that at break.
Yep, when I was writing this, I was like, hello.
There, yeah.
Yep. And carrying weight around your middle, that's another big sign there. Internally, you're going to have high triglycerides. 100 or less is good, but under 50 is great for numbers. great for prevention.
Right.
A high fasting blood sugar might be an indicator that you are pre-diabetic. And, of course, anything over 100 for a high fasting blood sugar is diagnosed as pre-diabetic, correct?
Yes, yes. So, body signs. Before I get into some baby food talk, let's take a call. Mary's been waiting on the line.
Okay. See, that's line.
Kyle, is that line 3?
What?
Thank you.
Thanks.
What a nice guy. Mary, are you on the line?
Yes.
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Yes, I have a question. you know, I was at one of your classes, and you I always drank 3 glasses of milk a day. I love milk. Okay. So you said that I shouldn't do that. I should take calcium instead. And you kind of advocate the, you know, the natural stuff. So why wouldn't it be better to drink the milk than take the calcium tablets?
You know, we don't say milk is evil necessarily, but kind of long answer. Milk, a lot of people don't handle it really well. For one, it's a little hard to digest, and there's just more and more research coming out on milk showing that it's maybe not the best source of calcium for the human body, and some of that has to do with the phosphorus to calcium ratio in cow's milk, and too much phosphorus will inhibit the absorption of calcium.
Right, and we are the only species alive that drinks milk after we're infants, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, when you think about that. So,
yeah.
So you know, in class, and I guess I probably, when I teach, I don't even bring up, unless somebody asks me whether cow's milk or calcium supplements are bad. But bottom line is we're seeing more research that maybe milk isn't the best absorbable form. And the other thing about milk, you know, even if you're doing a good organic milk, there's still a lot of growth hormone in there that's being passed on from that mother cow.
I always buy the one that doesn't have the growth hormone in it.
Right, perfect, and that's a good choice. So it doesn't have any growth hormone added, but there's natural growth hormone that cow is passing on to its baby calf.
Okay.
And it's in some pretty large amounts because a cow is a big animal, and then we're getting that in our system, and that's probably not so good for our hormone balance either. So I think it was probably some good advice. You know, if you really enjoy your milk, maybe to switch to whole milk, or maybe you're doing that already.
I'm drinking fat-free milk.
The skim milk.
Yeah,
okay.
Skim milk. Right.
Okay. You know, that pretty much, they've taken out the good, healthy fat, and you're just left with the milk sugar. So that might be driving up your blood sugars a little higher than you would want.
Because, I was always drinking it, excuse me, for the calcium. And I had I'm 65 years old, had a bone density test done, and she said it was the best one she's ever seen. And I'm always attributing to the fact that I have drank milk all my life and
mm-hmm.
always made it a point to drink 3 glasses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you think I should continue drinking the milk then? Or, you know, I have a hard time taking all these, you know, like right now I'm sitting at breakfast and I've got 2, 4, 6, 8 pills. They're not pills, but
vitamins.
Supplements. They're all supplements.
Sounds like us.
Yeah. Druggies.
Yeah.
I have a hard time with that, taking
Following.
All these supplements, which I'd rather take the natural food than taking all these
The real
supplements.
Food.
Well,
right.
Sure. And if and until you're having an issue, I wouldn't worry, stress
exactly.
about it. I mean, you're a healthy person. You're doing fine. You know, you just got another view on it. Now that's something to think about and you're a little more educated on the topic, but if it works for you, keep it up.
Yeah,
Sounds
you know,
like
and if
well.
Exactly, Kristen, because if your bone scan is good, I wouldn't take a calcium supplement.
Yeah, well,
now,
that's what I'm thinking. You
now,
know.
There might be other signs that might say that maybe 3 glasses of milk is a little too much, and that, you know, that's probably more than we can get into today, but some people can handle the milk just
yeah.
fine. And like I said, yeah, I wouldn't do calcium supplements if your bone scan is fine.
Okay.
Great question.
Thank you for
Thank
the question.
You.
Thank you.
And since Kyle does such a good job giving me the calls, let's take Beverly. Kyle, you got that one? Beverly, welcome to the show.
Hi. I just was diagnosed as pre-diabetic.
Okay.
And I haven't had any classes yet, but the woman at the clinic had told me I should have a snack before bed to help keep my blood sugar even during the night. When I get up in the morning, my blood sugar is the highest as it it's like 117 this morning. And so how do I make that be lower in the morning?
What kind of a snack are you having at night?
Well, I'm trying. That's what I was hoping you would give me a suggestion.
Sure.
I've had, last night I had an apple
and
some nuts.
Because
she told me always to have some protein with the fruit.
Okay, well, that's a fat with some fruit.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, nuts have protein in them, too, though.
Yep, and a lot of people will call them a protein, but it's not quite a complete protein. So we call that a healthy fat, but that's great. That's what you want is a carbohydrate and a healthy fat at bedtime. But what we see oftentimes, if somebody's having those high morning blood sugars, there are those people out there that can't handle fruit at bedtime, even if it's in small amounts. So I would cut out the fruit at bedtime. Something that works really well is avocado for a healthy fat. Do you like avocados?
I love avocados.
Yay!
Yeah. So maybe do like a wasa cracker and just slather the avocado on top of there.
Can I use a rice cake? I also don't eat wheat.
And the rice cake's going to send your blood sugar sky high
because
that's just puffed rice. That's exactly the opposite.
Okay.
If you can find a rye crisp or a wasa cracker or even...
But she's not doing gluten.
Okay, what would be...
What else could you do with an avocado?
Isn't rye gluten-free?
Rye would have gluten.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Another good one is our chicken salad recipe, and that's online. If you go to our website, weightandwellness.com, click on radio show and then click on recipes. That one has a good amount of mayo as a healthy fat, and then you do get some protein. You get the chicken in there.
And maybe veggies as a healthy carb for her.
Yeah, yeah.
Tonight.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Oh, good.
I'm
awesome.
Going to your website. Thank you.
There you go. All right.
Hooray.
Well, great question. Do we still have a little more time, or how are we doing?
Is there one more?
Okay, let's take one more call. John, you have some input for us, it looks like. Hi, John. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Thank you. For the lady that was interested in the better nonstick pan, we found the All-Clad brand at Williams-Sonoma. They're fairly expensive, but they have a proprietary coating that
John, thank you
shouldn't get the Teflon flu from.
Wonderful.
Awesome. Anytime we get these great tips from callers, I just stick them in my file because that question will probably come up again. So
absolutely.
Much appreciated. Thanks for listening.
You're welcome.
Okay, and time for break three, I think. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. Before we do go to break, I want to let you know of two great classes coming up. Jumpstart Your Metabolism, one of our most popular classes, is going to be taught here Wednesday, June 17th in Wayzata, 6:30 to 8:30. We still have a few openings, but it is filling up fast, so if you're interested, call 952-345-0766. That's a great class for a variety of people, but it was interesting because last night my mother-in-law was talking about a friend of the family that's really struggling with his weight right now, and I said, oh, if he lived closer, Jumpstart is perfect. He's carrying his weight around the middle.
Awesome
you know,
class.
I think he's headed down that wrong road to diabetes. So, but yeah, it's an awesome class.
That's a fun too.
Yeah, and then another class, Managing the Blood Sugar Roller Coaster, is coming up Tuesday evening, June 23rd in Wayzata. Again, call 952-345-0766. That's the Wayzata office if you're interested in learning more or signing up. And stay tuned.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Kristen Gunderson, nutrition educator at Nutritional Weight and Wellness. And we're going to get back to that kid talk we've been teasing. So, Cassie, take it away.
Yeah, that was a while ago. We were talking about that, isn't it? Yeah, so I was going to talk about some baby foods. Now, if you have an infant and you're getting ready to give some first foods, you know, if you give your baby mostly fruits and rice cereals from the start, and especially if on top of that the baby doesn't have sufficient good bacteria in its intestine, either because it wasn't breastfed or because the mom's breast milk didn't have ample good bacteria, then you're starting that baby on a blood sugar roller coaster ride before it's even a year old. And then the baby is set up to crave carbohydrates and the vicious cycle begins again before that baby even has its first birthday.
So what kinds of foods did you give to your babies when they were actual babies? What did you feel comfortable giving them?
Yeah, well, with the second baby, because then I was on board here, I actually made a lot of my baby food with a food processor. And the first food that I guess both of my kids had actually was egg yolks. And Marissa, my second, you know, I was making the baby food from scratch. We did a lot of vegetables. I didn't even let Marissa taste fruits for a month or more after she started her solids.
Okay.
And then the very first food I pureed for her was organic grass-fed egg yolk, and she loved it.
Wow.
And still loves eggs, both my kids. And I also started her off on vegetables like avocados, carrots, peas.
And I'm guessing what they get used to is what they like and eat.
Right.
You know, so
right.
You probably were never big on the rice cereal and sweetened applesauce.
No, no. In fact, I had vowed to not do rice cereal because that turns to so much sugar.
Yeah, makes sense.
And I only gave in slightly on that rice cereal piece when my daycare lady at the time insisted I send some rice cereal because she was tired of changing so many dirty diapers.
Wow.
What can I say? My kids are good poopers. I mean, seriously, they get a lot of fiber. It's not that much work to change a couple more extra diapers.
I'm guessing you didn't stay with that daycare very long then?
No, I didn't. You know, shortly after the rice cereal thing, then she started asking me to bring bread and saltine crackers. And I'm like, okay, you just don't get it. And I understand. You know, I've been on that side of the fence, and I think you have too.
Oh.
And it's just, it's kind of what you don't know. And I didn't have an hour to stand in the entryway of daycare and explain things to her.
You didn't have that kind of time. No, I'm having a flashback to one of the favorite pictures of me when I was little. I'm in my high chair with a spoon, and there's milk all over the tray, and I have my cereal bowl on my head. And there's milk dripping down. And it was Rice Krispies. All over.
Yeah.
So maybe I was on a blood sugar high
blood sugar
and I just
high.
Dumped it all over the place. Awesome. That'll teach you. All right. So, but back to some of the sciencey stuff. So you mentioned a while back how if you stress your pancreas day after day by asking it to make a lot of insulin to handle all of that sugar that you're eating, you will eventually wear your pancreas out. And then,
Right. Yeah,
you won't be able to produce enough insulin after that. And eventually you'll become an official diabetic. But there is also another contributing factor to developing type 2 diabetes.
Good point. And that is insulin resistance. And probably a lot of people have heard that term, but aren't quite sure what it's about. We're going to get into that, but we have a couple of callers again on the line. You know, such a beautiful day. I didn't know if we'd have callers. I'm so pleased.
I'm excited.
Outside listening
right. With
their radio on.
Oh, for sure.
But Kyle's going to help me out again. Let's take Bonnie. Bonnie, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hey, Bonnie.
Yes.
What's your question for us today?
My question is the cereal called Post Spoon Size Shredded Wheat. And the ingredients are whole grain wheat to preserve the natural wheat flavor. I wonder, it says it contains no sugar. Is this a good cereal to use versus the others?
Oh, Kristen's dying to answer this.
Okay, you must.
It's a great question,
yeah,
I have to say,
absolutely.
And it's one that we get a lot. So, great question.
It is because it's misleading.
Yes, it's
very
good
misleading.
Marketing.
What you have the label right in front of you there? I'm guessing.
Yes, I do.
The total carbohydrates.
Okay, it's 13% total carbohydrates.
How many grams?
And let's see.
Per teeny tiny serving, because we know we all have a bowl full.
Who eats just one cup? It's probably like right 40? Across from the 13% or on that same horizon should be the grams, right where you were reading.
Regardless,
it's going to be...
Dietary fiber, 6 grams, 24%.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I know any of those high fiber cereals are upwards of like 30 grams of total carbohydrate in a serving. And usually, like you're saying, Kristen, who eats one serving? In college, I had a honking big bowl.
Till the milk is gone.
Oh, I can see it. It's 40 grams.
Oy.
Oh,
see, I knew it was going to be in the 40s.
Whoa.
Okay. That's the piece you need to look at when we're talking about diabetes. Now, if you're an active person, if you're running around, you know, and really burning those calories.
If you're running a marathon.
Okay,
other than
yeah.
that, I really wouldn't tell people to
right.
do that. Because here's the science on that, Bonnie. When you look at those total grams of carbs, if you divide that by 4, so that would be 10, that's the number of teaspoons of sugar that turns into in your bloodstream. So when you have just one itty-bitty cup, which you might be having a little bit more, one itty-bitty cup full of that cereal turns to 10 teaspoons of sugar pretty darn quickly.
Okay.
And,
you know, isn't that an eye-opener? And kind of like we said before, we wouldn't dream of spooning 10 teaspoons down our throat at breakfast and thinking we had a healthy breakfast.
Right. And here I was thinking I wasn't eating.
Yes.
I was eating.
And you are not the only
sugar.
One.
No, and
right.
you're, yeah, exactly. You're not doing anything wrong. You're just doing what everyone across the country is doing.
Okay.
And that sugar that's listed on the label is not the true sugar even that we're talking about.
No,
it's those carbs.
You
got to
look at total grams of carbs and divide by four. And I am so glad you called in because I bet there are a lot of listeners that just had an aha moment with that question. So thanks a lot, Bonnie.
Okay.
Okay. And break time. So you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. Sadly, we're almost to the end of this hour,
do
stay tuned. Kristen has some great information on how to get started down that road to optimal health when we return.
Lori, Julia, and me. Check out my Perez cast at 3:15 and 6:15 weekday afternoons on FM 107.1.
Somebody call 911. Shawty fire burning on the dance floor.
All right, so we want to mention something about our six-week series that is actually starting up the week after the 4th of July, our weight and wellness series. It's a great way to learn about insulin resistance since we're not going to have a chance to talk about it today. I'm going to be teaching the Monday night series held in St. Paul. It's 6:30 to 8:30. We've got other times and locations you can check out just by going to our website, weightandwellness.com, for more information on those classes and all of the classes that we offer, or calling 651-699-3438 to register.
Yes. You know, and I did some hard work here, and I know you did too, and we had some great research to quote, but...
it's all right.
We had some great callers. That was great. But, you know...
Yeah.
Like Dar always says, we don't just make this stuff up. We base this on research, and there's some good research out there, especially with the high fructose corn syrup and heart disease and diabetes. We were going to get to Diet Pop and talk about the research there, which actually came out of the U of M, but sorry we didn't get to that. Hopefully another day. We didn't quite get to all of our callers, and I so apologize for that, but if you do have questions and we didn't get to you today, please call me at the office. I'm going to be heading over to Wyzetta after this, and I'd be happy to answer your questions personally. The number at Wyzetta is 952-345-0766.
And you can always get quick questions answered by emailing us at email@weightandwellness.com, and we will answer your questions that way.
That's right. And again, remember, check out our website for the recipes, too, because you're going to get lots of great ideas. Click on radio show and then recipes. And food can be your problem or it can be your solution. The decision is yours. Thanks for listening.
Life, I love you. All is groovy.
The proceeding was a paid program. The views expressed are not necessarily those of the management or ownership of FM 107.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Danielle.